It's here.
Still on his feet. Left side touchdown.
The wait is over.
Throws it up in traffic and it's intercepted.
High school football begins now. ...97.9 FM, WCHL Championship Sports, and Merritt's Store and Grill present the High School Football Game of the Week. All season, join Anthony Wellman, Jeff Hamlin, Paul Connell, and Walter Storholt for twice the games on 97.9 FM and streaming live on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Got a man right sideline. 10-5.
WCHL Championship Sports High School Game of the Week is presented by Mark Vitale Nationwide Insurance in Chapel Hill. And in Hillsboro, AAI Nationwide Insurance.
Go on his feet, left side touchdown.
Get ready for all the action, all the excitement, and exclusive coverage you can't find anywhere else. High school football kicks off now. Here's your host, Walter Storholt.
And good evening and welcome to Carrboro High School. Walter Storholt alongside Jeff Hamlin to bring you tonight's action between the Carrboro Jaguars and the Bartlett Yancey Buccaneers, the first conference tilt of the season between the two squads. And, Jeff, we should be in for a fun one.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting on a lot of fronts, Walter, because both these teams come into this game on three-game losing streaks. And that's something that Bartlett Yancey, unfortunately for them, is used to, but it's not something that Carrboro is used to. Yet they're coming in off a disappointing loss to Randleman last week. This was a team that started the year in very promising fashion, as they came away with a very solid win over Chapel Hill to begin the year. Also, they defeated Cedar Ridge. But then they lost a key player to the Jaguars in Trey Sharp, who was expected to be their premier running back. He is out for the season. We're going to hear Jason Tudorin, the head coach of the Jaguars, talk about that a little bit more in the broadcast. But they've lost Sharp, and they've also lost one of their co-captains in Merlin Johnson, a premier wide receiver for an offense that is so vertical. So it's been a struggle for the Jaguars over the last month in trying to get back on the winning track, because they haven't won a game since September 6th when they wound up losing Sharp.
You and I called games back during Sharp's freshman year, and I believe Marlon Johnson was a sophomore two, 3 years ago when we called that game. And they were both young, which you could see the talent that both possess, and both will probably be playing at the next level. It just remains to be seen of whether that'll be Division I or Division II at this point. A lot of scouts really high on Trey Sharp, so devastating that he's done for the year for this squad. They're going to have to pick up and move on, and Jeff, they're going to insert a new quarterback into the fold tonight as well.
Yeah, somewhat of a surprise announcement. We're going to hear a little bit later on here why Campbell Isom is the new starting quarterback for Carrboro in this game, but he is the third Jaguar to get a start under center this year for this team. Isom is only a sophomore. Now, he's played some as a tight end this year. Coach Tudorin thought that over the last couple of weeks it would be a good idea for him to get some reps behind center. And he liked so much what he saw that he has decided to go with Isom in this critical game here tonight, because this is the conference opener. And in this new mid-state 2A format, Carrboro is only going to play five conference games. So the last month and a half of the season going to be extremely important here for the Jaguars.
I'm excited to see Isom behind center. He's 6'5", 220 pounds. He's going to be a big guy back there, and he's going to be fun to watch. Meanwhile, on the other side of the fold, it's the Bartlett Yancey Buccaneers. Jeff, as you mentioned, they come into this game also on a three-game losing streak. They haven't won more than two games in a season for as long as a lot of folks can remember, in fact. They have the chance to get win number three of the year here tonight.
The good news for Coach Corey Lee's team is that last year they went 9-1 at the JV level, and a lot of the players that wound up playing at the JV level last year are now on the varsity team. The bad news is this is extremely young Bartlett Yancey team. They have 41 players on the roster. Only 11 are seniors, but they are going to start someone who is used to playing behind center tonight in Danielle Totten. He is only a sophomore, but a very good player. Last year, Bartlett Yancey got almost all their yards on the ground, and Coach Lee wants this team to be a more air-oriented unit, and we'll see if they can make that transition. The good news, another good news of note, good item of note for this Bartlett Yancey team is the fact that in each of the last 2 years, they finished up 2-10. This year, they've already got 2 wins. They're 2-4 entering the season, entering tonight's game, I should say. The bad news is that they have lost 3 in a row, including the last week to Pearson, 51-28. And this is a Bartlett Yancey defense that still has a lot of growing to do.
Jeff will speak with both head coaches coming up in just a few moments. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on WCHL and ChapelBurrow.com.
Mark Vitale's All of That Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All of That Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All of That Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Salemson, Chief Executive Officer of Corporate Investors Mortgage Group, and I'm proud to lead Chapel Hill's only locally owned mortgage bank. Home mortgage interest rates remain at historic lows, so whether you're looking to purchase the home of your dreams or simply looking to refinance your existing mortgage, Corporate Investors and I are here to help you every step of the way. Call us at 929-6116 or visit us on the web at CIMGINC.com. Go Heels!
Fitch Lumber and Hardware has been around for a century because they pay attention to their customers. They've got everything you need for your home projects, large and small, and take time to offer you as much or as little advice and helpful tips as you need. The staff is experienced, knowledgeable, and available when you need assistance. Just one of the reasons they've been voted best hardware store in Orange and Chatham counties for 4 years in a row by the Independent Weekly. And Fitch Lumber and Hardware is right here in downtown Carrboro, so stop by or give them a call at 942-3153.
Are you a weekend warrior? Along with the fun of being active comes the risk of injury. This is Dr. Harry Stafford, Director of the Primary Care Sports Medicine Fellowship here at UNC, as well as a UNC team physician. And for those times when your knee gets injured, your Achilles is hurt, your back goes out, or if you've got a shoulder injury, UNC Family Medicine is a great choice for fast and easy treatments, including cutting-edge platelet-rich plasma injections and much more. I invite you to find out more on our website, uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine, here for all weekend warriors.
Carrboro High School is being a part of the incredible...
Back here at Carrboro High School, Walter Storholt alongside Jeff Hamlin bringing you the game tonight between the Carrboro Jaguars and the Bartlett Yancey Buccaneers. Let's send it down to the field where Jeff is standing by with the head man of the Bartlett Yancey Buccaneers. Here he is with Coach Corey Lee.
Well, Coach Lee, your team won 2 games last year and the year before that. They've already won 2 this year coming into the conference opener. What are some things that have sparked that more impressive record?
I think it's just a building process. We've started from the beginning. My year one, we wanted to make sure that we were teaching things the right way, doing things the right way, and starting to build with our JVs. Year one, both teams took a licking because we were still getting our act together, so to speak. Year two, we decided to keep our JVs together that year. So we packed 10th graders, kids that knew nothing but us, our system, our way, and ended up producing a conference champion. This year we knew we were going to pull all those really good players up, and it's paid a few dividends this year. We've got a team that knows us, knows the way we do things, but are also young, and we make young guy mistakes. So that, I think that's what produced us, you know, those early 2 wins, and hopefully going to the conference we can get those quality wins and hopefully, you know, secure ourselves a playoff spot somewhere.
Danielle Totten is a young quarterback for your team. How has he done trying to learn on the job after being a JV quarterback last year?
Done a phenomenal job learning so far. Truthfully speaking, we could have started him last year, but we didn't think he was physically ready for the pounding that he may have to take. This year, he's a cerebral guy. So, you know, I guess my biggest gripe with him is he probably thinks too much. But physically, we're able to get stuff done. Physically, we're able to pass this year. We weren't really known as a passing team last year. We were, you know, 4,000 yards plus in total offense, but probably, you know, right around 3,800 yards were on the ground. He gives us a much more balanced attack this year. So, yeah, he's young, but he's getting the job done, and the best is yet to come. So I'll be glad to see him, what he does in the future.
You mentioned having so many players who were successful at the JV level make the step up to the varsity level this year. It's still a young roster. You have 41 players, only 11 of them are seniors. So what's the bridge between having a successful JV team, and how do you make a good JV team into a good varsity team?
I think it's over the summer, and I think it's getting them used to the speed of the game. That's usually the problems. If we have problems on that level, it's getting kids used to how fast it is on the varsity level. Kids at JV, especially when they have success. You know, we had a 9-1 JV team last year, and they're used to having success at their speed. And I think they got a really good wake-up call during the summer when we were 7-7. Also, in our first few games, that, you know, it's a lot faster than what they think it is. Now, scheme-wise, they're okay. Execution, they're good. But sometimes they're just a step behind. It's not all the time, but, you know, it's more than I would like.
What do you see from Carver that concerns you?
Probably the overall structure of the program. Coach Turgeon has done a great job with this program, and we respect them for the fact that they were playing for it all last year. And our kids know that, and our coaching staff knows that. We know that you know, they got some key injuries going on, but all, at the same time, they're still Carver. People are still expecting them to perform. People are still expecting them to win. And, you know, it's not a given that we'll come out here and have our way with them. They're still Carver. They're still well taught. They still execute well. And we've got to bring our A game to make sure we compete.
Looking forward to seeing unfold tonight. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.
Walter, we'll send it back to you.
That again is Jeff Hamlin down on the field with the head coach of the Bartley Yancey Buccaneers. We are at the 50-yard line getting ready for tonight's kickoff, first conference game of the season. When we come back in just a moment, we'll hear from the head man of the Carrboro Jaguars, Jason Tudor. That's coming up just moments from now. You're listening to High School Football on WCHL and Chapelboro.com.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruisers, good to go.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. What does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network, and we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall. NPC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T. The nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim compares national carriers' average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim compares data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
If you're looking for the kind of primary care you deserve, join the all-new Duke Integrative Primary Care Practice. For a modest annual fee, you'll have expert physicians who give you all the time you need to discuss all the health concerns you have, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Duke Integrative Primary Care, transforming your health and your life. Only minutes from Chapel Hill, open to all and now accepting insurance.
Walter Storholt with you here on WCHL and Chapelboro.com. The high school football game of the week between Carrboro and Bartlett Yancey, the first conference game of the season. Both teams trying to stop three-game skids. We'll see if they're able to do that tonight. They're introducing the homecoming court before the game. It's so big. There's so many people in it. They can't wait until halftime. They're doing it before the game here at Carrboro High School. While they're doing that, we'll go down to the sideline again, this time to hear from the head man of the Carrboro Jaguars. It's Jason Tudron standing alongside our Jeff Hamlin. Jeff?
Coach Jason Tudron joins me now. Coach, first things first, we've got two major skill players that have been out for several weeks now. What's the status of Trey Sharp and Marlon Johnson?
Trey's not going to play tonight. He's out for the season. And then Marlon, we hope to get back next week. And we've got some, you know, other guys that have been secondary guys and perimeter guys as well that aren't going to play. So it's a real great opportunity for some of our younger guys. We've got some freshmen that are going to step up and get some valuable Friday night experience. And real eager to see where he goes tonight, where they go tonight. And then Campbell Isom's going to start at quarterback for us. He's a sophomore. He's played a bunch of tight end this year. But he's the picture. You know, he's 6'5", 210-pound, 215-pound kid. We're excited about his upside, and I think this will be a good experience for him tonight.
Now, he's going to be the third different quarterback to play for you this year. What led to this change?
Well, Jonah Mendes is not going to play tonight. And so Campbell's gotten all the reps in practice this week. And it just gave him an opportunity right now because Malott is so valuable everywhere else on the field. And we feel that he does so well on defense and does some things well on the perimeter and also offense that he's so valuable in that spot. So we're going to be able to rotate Campbell in there and see how he does.
You come into this game having lost three in a row. This is your conference opener. These players aren't used to having losing streaks. Where's your confidence level right now with this team?
It's great. That's a great question. You know, this senior class has been, you know, they were 10-4 as freshmen, 8-4 as sophomores, obviously 15-1 last year. So we've told them that, you know, losing is a part of life. You've got to be able to re-energize, get yourself up off the mat, fight yourself out of a corner and compete, and you know that's a fabric of life, and especially in this country. So we want these guys to be able to seize that moment and come out in their first conference. And everything as far as length weight goes, we're 3-2 when it comes to conference games, or non-conference games, 0-0. We're in good standing right now, and it's a good opportunity for us against a talented Bartlett Yancey team.
I was about to ask, sometimes you have to coach amnesia once you get to the middle of the season, and it's easier to do once you get to the conference opener, isn't it?
It really is. You know, we kind of just hit the reset button this week, and we've had a really good week of practice, so I'm excited where these guys will take it tonight.
What concerns you about Bartlett Yancey?
Their speed. They've got really good speed on the perimeter. They're very athletic. Their offensive line's got great size. It's arguably one of the best linemen we've seen come through this campus in a couple years, their left tackle. So we've got to do a great job of being able to hit our gaps on defense, tackle soundly, and then on offense we've got to block very well and be able to be really good with the football. Got to win the turnover battle. And don't lose it in special teams. Last week we gave up 14 points directly in special teams, and it was a two-score game at the end of the night. So we've got to be smarter on that side of it.
I know special teams was important against Randleman. That was one of the things you were disappointed with. What's one thing that you're happy about with your team as they go into this conference opener?
I'm excited about the young guys who really practice well. And Xavier Dunn, senior captain, offensive lineman, defensive lineman, and Rakim Satterwhite, same thing, right tackle, defensive tackle. Those two guys are doing a great job of focusing on the present, not dwelling on the past, and kind of rallying the troops, circling the wagon, so to say, to get these young guys focused and confident to be able to play tonight.
You're in a new conference this year in the Mid-State 2A. Got some new teams as rivals, not everyone, but some new ones, such as Bartlett Yancey. How is that different for you as a coach? What challenges does that present you as a coach to face new teams as conference rivals?
We ended up seeing two of them in the playoffs last year, so with some familiarity there with Reedsville and Cummins. You know, the good thing we told our kids this week with Bartlett Yancey, we've never played them before. They never played us before. So a lot of our wrinkles they may not be used to, and we've got to be able to handle their wrinkles and play to a new opponent. Because everybody we've played to date with have history with. So that's a plus for us because we do some things about blitzing that's hard to prepare for. And let's hope that our guys be able to execute and be able to make plays tonight.
Well, I know it's a big one, Coach. Great talking to you. We'll talk to you later on the line.
Thanks, Jeff.
It's Coach Station 2, Jordan Walter. We'll send it back up to you.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Greatly appreciate it. And this is the start of the conference season, as we mentioned. Carrboro taking on Bartlett Yancey tonight. Then they'll be on the road at Cummings and Burlington at Jordan Matthews. Graham at home and Reedsville at home as well. That's how the slate looks ahead for Carrboro. And Jeff joining me back in the booth now. But when you look at the conference standings and where they shake out right now, obviously no conference games have taken place. But nobody's had a great season necessarily from a record standpoint. Your best team in the conference is Reedsville with a 4-2 record.
That's right, Walter, and Reedsville is going to be one of those teams to be reckoned with. But just to set up a big matchup later on down the line, senior night here for Carrboro will be on November 8th, and it will be against the Reedsville Rams, a team that has established itself at the 2A and 3A levels in terms of being a powerhouse squad. But for East Chapel Hill, for Carrboro, I should say, they got three home games of the five conference games this year. So they've drawn a good slate. After this contest, they'll be on the road in Burlington against Cummings and in Siler City against Jordan Matthews. Then they come back here to finish off the slate against Graham and Reedsville. And let's face it, this game is big tonight, not only because Carrboro's trying to win the conference opener, but also if they win, they become playoff eligible.
Absolutely, and that's very important when you take a look at what this team's goals are to get better throughout the season. And Jason Dudrin was mentioning on the grid earlier this week that he's hoping to be one of those kinds of teams that can get into the playoffs and surprise a few people in the first couple of rounds, pull some upsets, and that's kind of where his goal is right now. Although if they start rattling some wins off here in the conference, his goal may change a little bit to have a higher seed.
That's true, and let's face it, when you're Carrboro, after having made the state championship game last year, your name begins to stick out on those playoff branches because you've made a name for yourself.
Absolutely. You're perfectly correct there. Let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will get you ready for the kickoff between the Carrboro Jaguars and the Bartlett Yancey Buccaneers on WCHL and Chapelboro.com.
If you've been hassling with glasses and contacts for years, why wait any longer? At Carolina Ophthalmology, we've been performing LASIK eye correction here in Chapel Hill for 17 years. At your free consultation with Dr. James Bryan, he will answer your questions and evaluate whether LASIK is right for you. Take our LASIK self-test at carolina2020.com. Call us today, 919-945-EYES. Why wait any longer?
When you think of Harrington Bank, do you think green? No, not that kind of green, sustainability green. At Harrington Bank, we're the first bank in the nation to earn Green Plus certification. And the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce has just selected us Sustainable Business of the Year. For Harrington Bank, going green is a smart business decision that strengthens our local economy, environment, and community. Stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Hi, I'm David Fitch. My great-grandfather started Fitch Lumber and Hardware back in 1907. Since then, we provide thousands of contractors and homeowners with top-quality building products and exceptional service that's truly second to none. Everything you need to construct, renovate, and repair the home, from the foundation to the roof, we can help you with. And Fitch Lumber and Hardware is right here in downtown Carrboro across from Carr Mill Mall. 105 years and counting. Here comes Fitch.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruisers, good to go.
Mark Vitale's All About Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All About Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All About Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
This is Kit Ballou, Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. You know, Kit, a lot of people look at buying or selling a house as a competition where there is a clear winner and a clear loser.
I know what you mean, but in my experience,
and that would be vast.
The best deals are the ones where the sellers feel they didn't get quite enough and the buyers are sure they paid a little too much.
So not like the sleazeball in the tailored suit on Bravo's million-dollar listing, the one who says, you haven't done anything right until someone wants you dead. Jeez, Franklin Street Realty, our agents simply do not let ego get in the way. In fact, the men were selected for low testosterone levels.
Oh, Sammy, don't sell yourself short. The truth is, you don't have to read The Art of War to be a good negotiator. You need focus, experience, and flexibility. What you get from our agents. Plus, even the talking heads have come around to our position. There has never been a better time to buy a house, period.
Lower asking prices, lower interest rates, a lot to choose from. Find your new house at franklinstreetrealty.com.
Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
Time for school means time for school sports to begin. If your child needs a sports physical to play, UNC Family Medicine is here for you. UNC Family Medicine can get you in and out quickly so your young athlete can get back to the field. You'll be cared for by the same physicians and staff that work with UNC teams and the Chapel Hill Carrboro High School teams. Make your appointment now at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
National anthem in the books. The coin toss has taken place, and we are just about ready to roll here from Carrboro High School. Walter Storholt and Jeff Hamlin with you, getting ready for the kickoff. Jeff, we already talked about how fun this game is going to be, talked about some of the keys to the game, but I want to touch on something more that you asked Jason Tudrin about, and that's the confidence in his team. After having been, you know, a state championship caliber team last season, trying to just rebound from that and get ready and kind of trying to deal with losing a little bit. I thought it was very poignant what he said about having to deal with that in the team and trying to just get them refocused and regear and just really attacking the game with a different mentality.
Absolutely. And Jason Tudrin has built this program from the ground up, Walter, in the most literal way possible. He was here when this team was nothing, when the stadium was nothing, when they even, before they even set up bleachers, he was the one who tried to craft this program in his own image. And he's used to rebuilding projects. And of course, he's built this Carrboro team from having no victories when they started back in 2006 to last year when they played for the 2AA state championship. So he's at an interesting point with this program because he wants to see how a squad that isn't as experienced as last year's team will respond to some adversity in this going into their season opener.
The Jaguars will kick off from left to right along your radio dial to start tonight's game. It will be kicking off will be Simon Schlehubert, and he will be kicking off for the Jaguars, who are in their purple tops tonight with the yellow numbers, purple helmets, and black pants. The Buccaneers in white tops with orange pants and a black helmet with the Buccaneer logo on it. Ball on the 40-yard line. We are ready to go as Schlehubert puts the ball in the air, and before we even get a chance to announce a return, there is a whistle and a flag on the far side of the field. Most likely this will be offsides. Back deep to receive for Bartlett Yancey, Brian Parker, 5'9" junior.
And we're going to see right off the bat here, Walter, exactly what Bartlett Yancey can do offensively. Coach Tudor had mentioned he's concerned about their speed already this year. They've scored four touchdowns or more in four of their six games.
Carrboro 3-3 on the season. Bartlett Yancey 2-4. Here comes the kickoff. Second attempt stayed on the 40-yard line, so the flag was picked up. It'll be returned from the 8-yard line, bringing it out and slipping at the 18-yard line. Still on his feet at the 20. Ball carrier is down as Parker able to get a decent pickup just past the 20-yard line before finally getting hauled down and gang tackled by the Carrboro Jaguars. So the possession will begin on the 22-yard line for Bartlett Yancey as they will come out. And we'll see what kind of offensive play sets and looks that they go with here in the early going, and if they keep it on the ground or they test the air early against this Carrboro defense.
It's going to be Danielle Totten starting at quarterback here tonight, and looks like they're going with a spread setup here, Walter.
Got five wide outs. Here comes a man in motion to the far side. Ball on the left hash mark. It'll be a handoff to Deshaun Newman. Newman trying to turn the corner. Gets to the outside. He's still on his feet across the first down marker, down past the 35-yard line. So a great pickup on first down. Rushes him from the 22 all the way to the 36-yard line. They'll mark him at the 37. So first down and a little extra. Already making their way toward midfield with a good first down play.
Yeah, Marshall was a young man who was injured earlier this year and a loss to High Point Andrews, but he's back here tonight after sitting out the Person game last week.
15-yard gain. Here's the play on second down. It'll be a handoff from the shotgun. It'll be a quarterback keeper, actually, rolling to his right, getting back to the line of scrimmage, reaching across for a yard as Totten, but he stopped there. It'll bring up second and nine.
And Totten went with the zone read that time, which is so in vogue that right now in high school and college football, and it works for 2 yards.
Moves the ball up to the 38-yard line, so it'll bring up second and nine. Shotgun with a spread once again. Ball on the right hash mark. There's the snap. It's a low one. Totten's able to pick it up, throws it. Screen pass off the fingertips of the receiver as Telvin Stewart drops the ball. It'll bring up third and nine.
That's one that he's got a hole in that time because number 10, Darius Glover for Carrboro, was playing on soft coverage. That was the right play call, and it looks like that Yancey has some size, especially when it comes to Stewart, who's a big one. He's a 6'4 wide receiver. That's the perfect one to throw fade patterns to.
Deshaun Newman back there in the backfield to help protect as Totten gets a man in motion as well. It'll be a handoff, and working his way up is Newman, dancing through a couple of tacklers, getting close to the first down before being taken down, and based on the spot, it's going to be very close. You've got a little bit better angle on it than I do, Jeff Hamlin. What's it look like?
It's going to be a first down. They're already signaling move the chains. And that's a big run by Newman and a big jolt there for Bartlett Yancey trying to get some confidence.
Did a nice job to reach across the first down marker, and so it brings up first and 10 for Bartlett Yancey after they convert the third and 9. Ball at the 48-yard line. Man in motion to the near side, runs in front of the quarterback, Totten. He gets the snap, throws it out into the flat, and we've got whistles, a flag on the field. Marquise Mims was the man with the reception, but a false start against Bartlett Yancey will knock him back 5 yards.
Yeah, that was impressive, though, the way that Newman managed to keep the ball on the ground on a third and long situation, and they still managed to get the first down to Bartlett Yancey. That's something you rarely see, but it shows you how much Coach Corey Lee trusts his team's speed and able to go out there and convert a third and long for a first down at this point in the game.
Ball in the 33 now, first and 15. It'll be an option to the left. The pitch is faked and a fumble on the ground, and then a player picks it up, and now we've got whistles, and they're going to call it an incomplete pass as he shoveled it forward. Incomplete, intended for Marquise Mims. Dangerous play on the option there.
I think that was intended for Mims, or it might have been Tyree Bratcher who actually picked up the ball. It looked like that time that Totten wanted to set up the shovel pass, and we talked about the youth of this Bartlett Yancey team here, and it looked like that was such a slow-developing shovel pass play. The youth was on display there.
Three receivers to the right, one to the left on second and 15. After a false start penalty knocked Bartlett Yancey back 5 yards. Converting a third and 9 earlier in the drive. Here's the handoff. Player tripped up immediately. Tyree Bradshaw, sophomore running back, taken down just past the 40-yard line.
Yeah, and it was Sir Kutart who managed to get in there and trip him up and thwart that play immediately. Excellent job that time by Kutart to come over and stop him for a loss now, a third and long.
Three receivers come to the left this side, one to the right, so they flip-flop the previous setup. Ball to 42, needing to get all the way to the 42 of the Jaguars for a first down. Here's a throw across the middle, and looked like trying to cut through to the middle was Tevin Stewart, but he got tripped over his own feet. Didn't get to the ball in time. It falls incomplete, and we'll have our first punt of the game.
Good coverage that time again. Dutart was there as he drifted back on coverage, as opposed to the previous play where he rushed in on a run blitz. And so Carver will get the ball now with just over 2 minutes gone by here in the first quarter.
Darius Glover back to receive this punt. He's standing on the 30-yard line in the Carborough end. It'll be James Gunn to kick it away for the Buccaneers. Gets the snap, but before the kick comes, we have whistles. Flag thrown along the defensive line for Carborough. Looks like encroachment on the Jaguar. So this will move the ball 5 yards forward, but still same scenario with a punt impending.
Well, it was important right there for Carborough to set up something there that would get the ball rolling in terms of their defense, because that's an area that's let them down over the last few weeks.
Darius Glover back deep to receive. The kick is a high one, end over end, as it spirals to the near sideline. Takes a bounce at the 22-yard line and rolls all the way to the 10, where the Buccaneers will tap it and stop the play. So not very good field position to start out for the Jaguars on their first play. Coming up here in just a few moments, 9:28 to play here in the first quarter. No score from Carborough between Bartlett Yancey and the Carborough Jaguars. First conference game of the season. Walter Storholt and Jeff Hamlin with you here on WCHL and ChapelBurrow.com. Our coverage is brought to you by Mark Vitale Nationwide Insurance in Chapel Hill and AAI Nationwide Insurance in Hillsboro. So we'll get our first look at Campbell Isom, as he does not get the snap on the first play. It goes directly to the running back. There were two backs standing on either side of him, and not a whole lot doing on the run up the middle, as the handoff goes to Kendrick Edwards, who has been playing a big part in this offense ever since Trey Sharp went out with the injury. Gets 2 yards on the play. It'll bring up second and 8.
Yeah, it's a lot of skilled players now having to learn on the job with the subtraction of Sharp and Johnson out of this lineup for the Jaguars here, Walter.
Isom does stand tall up in the backfield. He's going to throw a screen pass. He's got good blockers out in front. The receiver is Darius Glover. Gets around one tackler, but then gets taken down across the 15-yard line. It'll bring up third down with 8:40 and counting here in the first quarter. Decent gain is going to bring up third and 4 for the Jaguars.
Yeah, it's going to be important here that Isom Doesn't have too many balls that are thrown long distances. Right there was a simple swing pass that was caught. Let's see what they try to do here. Jason Tudor, and also the offensive coordinator as well as the head coach here.
Need the 21 for the first down. It'll be a handoff off the right tackle. Now bouncing it outside. I don't think he got it. It was very close. We'll see if he was able to reach across. Looks like he might get a good spot here.
That was a good play by Marquise Mims to come over from his linebacker position, and he's actually the backup quarterback for this Bartlett Yancey team, and it's going to require a measurement to see whether or not Edwards got the first down, Walter.
And they're going to have to bring the chains all the way across the field, as it happened here on the near sideline. Chains on the far sideline tonight. 8:03, the clock has stopped here in the first quarter. Chains coming across, making their way through. Referee running in between, holding the marker. And they'll stretch it out and see if Carborough got the first down.
Carborough doesn't have many players going both ways here, so it shouldn't affect them defensively. It's going to be a first down.
Sure will be. 8:03 to play, and now the Jaguars have their first down of the game. Ball to 21-yard line.
It was an important play right there by Edwards to wind up reaching forward, and it might have been a last thrust to get in there because Mims was right on him the second he got the ball. Mims made a good read for the ball that time, but he couldn't stop Edwards from getting the first down.
So we'll see what Carborough does now with the first and 10 and a little bit more room to operate, not backed up on their own goal line like they were four plays ago. In the shotgun again, new quarterback Campbell Isom making his first appearance as a quarterback here in high school. Coach Tudrin liked what he saw in the reps this week. He calls for a man in motion to the far side, fakes the reverse, runs it up the middle himself, runs over one tackler, hits two, and then gets sandwiched in between a couple of others, but he makes his way closer to the first down marker, getting near the 30-yard line as he was stretching forward. They'll mark him up at the 27-yard line.
Isom made the zone read that time because Bartlett Yancey was sending two linebackers dead up the middle. That's called a blitz up the A-gap, and he read that and cut around both of those blitzers, and it wound up working for a 5-yard gain. Tell you what, Isom's got some wide strides as a quarterback, as you would expect.
Pickup of 6, it'll be 2nd and 4. Isom barks out the signals, gets the snap, throws the screen over to the near sideline. Running it up is Glover. Glover breaks one tackler. Now stiff arms another across the 40-yard line, just shy of the 45. He'll mark down at the 44. A good pickup on the screenplay, and the Jaguars moving the ball down the field.
Yeah, it's a test right there of Carborough matching speed on speed, and it worked in their advantage that time for a 17-yard pickup as they wanted to isolate Glover that time with the man defending him, Saquon Garland, the near side cornerback, goes at 5'9", 160.
Here's the snap. Two running backs in the backfield alongside Campbell Isom. It'll be a handoff. Running it up, the right tackle now bouncing to the outside. Beautiful running by Kendrick Edwards. The small 5'9", 155-pounder lowered the shoulder, got across midfield, down inside the 40-yard line. It's another Carborough Jaguar first down.
Rakeem Satterwhite is the man paving the roads around that right side, and that time Edwards followed his block along with the fullback James Scott. As he ran to the strong side, did Edwards, and it worked for a big gainer to the Bartlett Yancey 36-38.
Satterwhite, the starting right tackle on this team at 6'1", 335 pounds. Makes it easy to make those holes for your running back when you're that big. 37-yard line is where the ball is. It's 1st and 10. Here's the snap. Handoff. We'll go to Edwards again. Gets to the line of scrimmage and pop. Taken down on the play, in on the tackle. A couple of different players for Bartlett Yancey, one whom usually happens in football, we don't have a number four, but another one was Justin Pruitt who had gotten in there.
Also, Stacy Blackman managed to wedge in between the tackles and get in there, holding up Edwards for a gain of 2. It's been a very steady drive here. After Edwards just barely got the first down a moment ago, Carborough's gotten their yardage in chunks here, and we're almost halfway done with the first quarter, but it's been a very steady drive thus far. And it's been a long one. This will be the 8th play of the drive. That's pretty lengthy here in high school where you have 12-minute quarters.
6:15 to play. 2nd and 8 here in the first quarter. Another screen pass. This was successful last time. Glover gets hit hard this time. Taken down. The first one to pop him was Marquise Mims, who plays both ways as a halfback and a quarterback. Also appears on defense as a defensive back, and he's the one that made the hit.
And he held them up for a gain of only two on the play, so it's going to be third down and an important six here. And I'm thinking four down territory here for Carrboro. They don't want to settle for three here, and really they don't have a kicker, I don't think, that can get it 53 yards, and that's what the field goal would be if Carrboro were not to gain another inch here on third down.
Yeah, it'd be a tough decision to have to put this in the hands of your kicker, or on the foot of your kicker, rather. So we'll see if they can get a nice pickup on third down. Fake the reverse, they'll hand it up the middle, and beautiful run straight through the middle of the field by Roe Malott, who was in competition for the starting quarterback slot. But as you heard Jason Tutrin say before the game, he's just so valuable everywhere else on the field, and they use him as a running back on this play, and he gets up for the first down.
And Malott did a wonderful job that time. Good ball handling that time once again by Isom, and Malott showed off his skills as a halfback that time and got the first down, getting 15 big yards.
Ball on the 21. Here's the snap. It will be a quarterback keeper, and then he thought about pitching it out, almost loses control of the ball, finally able to hold on to it. Isom was in trouble there. He gets taken back several yards behind the line of scrimmage, but forward progress will only yield about a yard loss, maybe even only a half a yard.
Well, if nothing else out of this drive, Walter, Carrboro has succeeded in wearing down a Bartlett-Yancey team that has four players playing both ways here. This is going to be the 12th play already of this drive. And remember, Bartlett-Yancey has quite a few interior linemen that will have to turn right back around after this drive and play on offense.
Three receivers to the near side. Carrboro moving left to right. Pump fake, now firing to the end zone, almost completing it. As he was looking for Edwards in the end zone, it went off of Edwards' hands and out of bounds. Almost the first touchdown of his career for Campbell Isom. And, Jeff, that was a pretty good-looking throw.
Oh, no doubt about it. He should have had that one, should have Edwards, because it slipped right through his hands. Edwards, not a big man at 5'9", but he had plenty of range to haul that one in. That was a well-thrown ball by Isom. That was a good-looking slant for a ball thrown in the red zone. Edwards has got to haul it in.
Here's something that you don't see with quarterbacks at this age a lot of the time, that quick release, and that's what Isom had on that play there. He'll hand the ball off this time, coming near side. It's Edwards again on the carry. He maybe gets a yard, possibly two on the play as he jumped across the line of scrimmage before getting snowed under. It'll bring up fourth down, and now you got to think about sending in the field goal kicker.
That's right, only a gain of two. It's fourth and eight, so if we were to see Chilabrente, it would be here, a 36-yarder, but it doesn't look like he's going to go in the game.
Looks like they're going to keep the offense out there. One receiver to the far side. In isolation, they've got trips to the right. Here's the snap. Looking to his left, he'll dump it to the running back. It's Edwards, but he has wrapped up hard on fourth down. A beautiful tackle by Antonio Farish, the junior, able to wrap up Edwards on the play and force the turnover on downs. He got there quick, and, Jeff, he wasn't letting go.
No, that was an excellent fundamental play, only a gain of two. So it turns into a Griswold drive here, Walter. It was 13 plays and 72 yards for Carrboro, but they get nothing. That's a long way to go to Wally World to find out it's closed.
You're absolutely right. They'll have to see if they can rectify that and wait around till Monday to see if it opens back up. So it'll be first and 10 as it'll be Bartlett-Yancey starting its drive on the 18-yard line. It'll be a handoff on first down, nowhere to go. Running back is stuffed off the right side.
And I believe that was number 7 in the game, Dylan Myers, who wound up getting that call, and regardless, it's going to be a loss of 3 on the play.
Looked like it was Deshaun Newman, I believe. Five receivers. Newman comes in motion. He'll get the handoff coming in their side. Oh, he drops the ball. It's on the ground inside the 10-yard line. He picks it back up, runs out of trouble, tries to get back to the 15-yard line. He does not get there. It'll be another loss of yardage, but Bartlett-Yancey avoids disaster by being able to get back on top of the ball.
Yeah, you can't give up the field position here that you wound up gaining just moments ago off the big stop, and now right away Bartlett-Yancey backed up in its own territory with a big third and 14.
Ball on the 13-yard line. Need to get to almost the 30-yard line for a first down. Here's the snap. Looking deep. He'll throw down the right sideline. It is caught. First down and more across the 50-yard line. The strike is good from Totten all the way down the field. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. A beautiful pass down the field for 87 yards for Bartlett-Yancey. What a touchdown.
It was a huge play that time, as they wound up throwing it, I believe, to Zach Earp, the tight end number 81 who was in there. and he made a huge play to get in and make the score.
Earp, a freshman, and he had the Jets to get all the way down the field and score that one. Well, they're going to say it's Keontae Rasheed, the sophomore, who made the catch and scored.
Excuse me.
Nonetheless, a beautiful play. And it's led to a 6-0 lead, and the extra point is up, and it is good. With 2:26 to play, Bartlett Yancey goes from being cornered in their own end zone to going all the way down the field for an 87-yard pass play to Keontae Rasheed for the touchdown. And just like that, it's 7-0. You're listening to High School Football on WCHL and Chapelboro.com.
That insurance agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All of that insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, all of that insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
Hello, I'm Robbie Oakes, senior mortgage banker with Corporate Investors Mortgage Group. As a Chapel Hill native and a UNC grad, I am proud to work with the only locally owned mortgage bank in Chapel Hill. Home mortgage interest rates remain at historic lows. Whether you're looking to purchase the home of your dreams or simply looking to refinance your existing mortgage, Corporate Investors and I are here to help you every step of the way. Call us at 929-6116 or visit us on the web at CIMGINC.com. Go Heels.
Bartlett Yancey with, I guess it was a kind of an onside kick. It ended up going 15 yards to the 45 of the Carrboro Jaguars. Not sure if it was intended to be that short of a kick. But either way, Carrboro will have much better field position on its second drive of the game. Instead of being on their own 11-yard line, they will now be at the 44. And we'll see if this offense that sputtered right at the end will be able to maybe get all the way down to the end zone now as the Jaguars trail 7-0. After an 87-yard touchdown pass to Keontae Rasheed, put Bartlett Yancey on top, 7-0, 2 minutes and 25 seconds to play here in the first quarter. Isom gets the snap. He'll hand it off up the middle. It's Edwards. Bounces his way off a tackler to the 49. Reaches out toward the 50 before being taken down, but a good pickup on first down.
Yeah, that was Roe Malott, actually, in there, Walter, who managed to get in there and run it 7 yards straight up the middle, and Malott already showing off his versatility as he grinds ahead, and he's got some wide strides. He's very similar as a runner, just like the man who has replaced him at quarterback, Campbell Isom.
Isom gets the snap again. This time the handoff goes to Edwards after they switched positions. Edwards gets dragged down in the backfield, though. It'll be a big loss on the play. A couple of players in on the tackler, but the man was Tony Durden. The senior linebacker got in there and wrapped him up for the tackle.
Yeah, Tony Durden's reading the run very, very well for Bartlett Yancey, and he managed to get in there along with number 60 on the play, Stacy Blackman, the defensive lineman, who's 5'6", 260.
Third down and 6 yards to go, needing to get to the 46 for a first down into Bartlett territory. Back in the backfield by himself. Isom throws over his intended receiver, almost picked off, goes off of the fingertips of Greg Budd. The junior cornerback had that one in and out of the fingertips, and we'll see if Carbro decides to punt here. It looks like they may decide to go for it.
Well, this is a big gamble early here by Jason Tudrin. Ball is at the Carbro 48, but they're going to have to go for it here on what's 4th and 7.
Now, keep in mind that Malott not only is a running back and can play wide receiver and several other positions as well as quarterback. He is also the punter, so we may see some sort of kick play drawn up here, although it looks like as Malott's going to be the single back in the shotgun formation, it's going to be a pass. Yes, they're going for it on 4th and 6. The throw is down the field, intended, and it's incomplete. Looking to try and get it to James Scott on the play. It was over top of the head of Scott. Good defense that time by Marquise Mims, who's done a good job on defense tonight for the Buccaneers. And now the Buccaneers will take over in Carrboro territory, Jeff.
And they're up 7-0 on the strength of that huge 87-yard touchdown pass as the quarterback, Danielle Tott, wound up throwing to Conte Rasheed. And now the Buccaneers get the ball in Carrboro territory after that fourth down gamble results in snake eyes.
Ball will be at the 47. Here's the snap. It'll be a handoff. Coming to the near sideline as the Buccaneers move right to left. No gain on the play. On the carry was Deshaun Newman with the tackle for Carborough, Carson McKay. The senior able to wrap up the runner. They'll give him a yard on the play. It'll bring up second and nine.
Good play that time by McKay as he ran in. And McKay is someone who played that state championship game last year. He's a senior.
Second down. Two receivers on either side. Man in motion to the near side. Really packing it up on the sideline here. It'll be a handoff up the middle instead. Satterwhite jumps over top of the running back, Newman, to drag him down. That's a lot of man flying on top of Newman there to bring him down. But Newman did a good job to hold his own and move the chains by reaching forward for the first down.
That was a brave run by Newman that time because Satterwhite is not one to mess with. He's at 335 chasing a man who's 155.
Almost has a clear 200 pounds on him.
Yeah.
And then jumped in the air, left his feet to go grab him. Newman will get the next carry as he gets the pitch out to the right side. Breaks two tackles, still on his feet. Inside the 35, down to the 31-yard line. Close to another first down. It'll be second and short with time winding down here in the first quarter. So it's 7-0. Bartlett Yancey with the lead after the first quarter of play. You're listening to High School Football on WCHL and Chapelboro.com. Walter Storholt and Jeff Hamlin. Back with you for the second half in just moments.
Hi, this is Ron Stutz. At Carolina Ophthalmology here in Chapel Hill, Dr. Jamie Bryan has been performing vision correction surgery, including LASIK and PRK, for 18 years. Dr. Bryan performed my vision correction surgery about a decade ago. It really changed my life. Dr. Bryan is certified by the American Board of Ophthalmology and is Chapel Hill's most experienced vision correction surgeon. At your free consultation, Dr. Bryan will answer your questions and evaluate whether vision correction procedures are right for you. Visit Carolina2020.com or call 919-945-EYES.
This is Kit Malin.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruisers, good to go.
Second down, handoff goes up the middle for Tyree Bradshaw. Ball's on the 32-yard line. Bradshaw carries it forward to the 30. Gain of two. It'll bring up third and a long two for Bartlett Yancey. Already up 7-0 over the Carborough Jaguars as we're underway here in the second quarter.
Who was on the carry there, Walter Newman?
That was Bradshaw, number one.
Bradshaw, excuse me. Have to get these things right.
Statistics purposes.
That's right.
Here's the snap. It'll be Bradshaw again. No, it'll be a quarterback keeper after the fake. He reaches forward across the 31-yard line. Depending on the spot, we'll see what situation we have. I do think he's short. It's going to bring up fourth down as Satterwhite was there to bring the quarterback, Donnell Totten, down. And here we go, fourth and two for the Buccaneers.
And they're going to go for it here. Big play.
Their first such situation of the night. Totten looks to the sideline. Shouts something to his center. Carborough really packing the box. Here's the snap. It'll be an option out to the left. They get the pitch off. The man is taken down short of the first down marker. A beautiful tackle on the play. It was Corey Henderson on the carry. Jeff, who made the stop for the Jaguars?
It was number 22 getting in there. Tremendous play by Sam Loeb with a great job covering the pitch. He excelled in making sure that ball wouldn't go to Newman and he wouldn't give up the edge on the far end of the field that would have allowed Newman to get the first down.
So Carborough stopped on fourth downs earlier in the first quarter. Now Carborough able to stop Bartlett Yancey on their fourth down attempt, and it'll bring up first and 10 for the Jaguars in their own end. Ball on the 31-yard line. Moving right to left, they send one wide out to the near side. Here's the snap. Fake the handoff. It'll be a quarterback keeper running up the middle of the field. With it is Isom. Big pickup on first down as he comes across the 35 to the 37-yard line. That'll bring up second down.
Now, Isom is the type of player who is not very fast, but he is very smart when he runs the football. He knows exactly what to look for when it comes to these reads that he's going around in for. Chances are, when he's carrying the ball, he's going to have a lot of open space to run the football, and that's what he did right there.
Second and four, needing to get to the 41 for a first down. Crowd goes quiet for a moment. Here's the snap. The handoff goes up the middle. First down and more. Busting his way through the line. Out to midfield on the run. Another very nice one. This one was not Edwards in there. This time it's Tobias Sales who got the carry, the freshman. I believe he had a brother, Tobias Sales.
I believe that was him, if I'm not mistaken.
I remember the Sales name, and then it was very similar to Tobias.
Tobias, yeah. And he was a great wideout for some of those Carbrell teams that really started to break the mold of success.
Yeah, he kind of paved the way for guys like Marlon Johnson.
That's right.
Of course, is a big threat, not playing tonight for the Jaguars. So first down, ball at the 48-yard line. It'll be handoff coming to the near side. With it again is Sales. Sales breaks one tackle, spins his way to the 40-yard line, and that will be good for another Carborough first down. They'll mark him just shy of the 41 of Bartlett-Yancey territory. Based on what it looks like, that should move the first down chains, and it does.
So far in this game, that's already 28 plays, 28 yards on this drive, Walter, in the first quarter. Carborough wound up with 105 yards total offense. Bartlett-Yancey matched him as they came away with 125.
Isom has Malott in the backfield with him. Man goes in motion. It will be a quarterback keeper. Isom up the middle again. He gets across the 35-yard line before being taken down. Another pickup of about 6 yards on the play. It'll bring up second and four. 9:13 to play here in the second quarter. Carborough still looking to get on the board, down 7-0 to Bartlett-Yancey in the first conference game of the season.
Both of the drives so far by Carborough have ended with fourth down attempts and failures.
They will look to turn that tide here tonight on this drive. Three wideouts, two to the near side. Ball near the left hash mark. Man in motion again is Edwards. They'll hand it off to Malott. Up the middle, press through the secondary. Still on his feet across the 20, 15, 13. Taken down there. Malott with a nice run up the middle, keeping his shoulders high and his momentum forward. And with 8:40 to go, he stops the clock and moves the chains way down the field. First and 10 inside the red zone now for the Jaguars.
And we're seeing why Jason Tudorin decided to make this move here. It was a brave move to go with Isom as the quarterback, but he has some good ball handling skills, and he knows exactly which skill player to give the ball to at the right time.
It's a great observation, Jeff. As 8:20 remaining in the second quarter, here's the snap. Isom with the handoff. It's Sales, follows his blockers, then steps to his right across the 5-yard line and inside the 3-yard line now. We'll call it the 2. It'll be first and goal.
Yeah, this is attack of the underclassmen right here. That's Campbell Isom handing the ball off to another young man who's just seeing his first action in Sales. He's only a freshman, so these are some young stars coming out of the woodwork here tonight.
Sales at 5'7" tall, only 140 pounds, but he is a smart runner. He followed his blockers very well on that last play. We'll see who they choose to try and punch it into the end zone. It'll be Sales again. He gets by two defenders and nudges his way down to the 1-yard line. It'll bring up second and goal.
They're going with a Y formation here, Walter, and we actually saw this in the NFL last week. That's where a quarterback stands out of the shotgun, and he's got three running backs almost surrounded in a triangle in a way. I call that the Y formation because it's shaped that way. But it's interesting, that's picking up steam more now at the other levels of football. And Jason Tudor is somebody who really brought the spread offense to Carborough years ago, really before it became popular around the state.
Carborough looking to get on the board. 7:20 to play. Here's the handoff. It's Sales again. This time he squirts forward into the end zone. Touchdown, Jaguars. 7-6 now as we have 7 minutes and 15 seconds on the clock. A touchdown by the Carborough Jaguars.
It was an easy attack to the left side that time, and Carborough winds up scoring in order to put them within one off
and
the check, big play.
Check that, Jeff. It was Edwards who... Yep. Ended up getting the handoff and going in for the touchdown. So now they'll look to tie it up with the extra point. As Schley Hubert will be the man to attempt it, wearing the orange sneakers tonight. Here's the snap, spots down late, and it's blocked. No good. Getting his hands on it was Brian Parker.
And so the kick is no good, and we have got a 7-6 lead for the Buccaneers.
They've got Parker listed as 5'10 here. Or 5'9 even. I'm finding that hard to believe. He was awfully big coming through the line.
Yeah, he looked much bigger than that. He looked like somebody that could play center for the basketball team. So it's 7'6.
That caused my momentary pause because he was quite large, not 5'9. So it's 7'6, and we'll see if that plays a big factor later on in tonight's game. Sometimes these things do have the tendency to come back and bite a team. Other times they end up not factoring in. Time will tell on that, but we may look back to that extra point that just got missed and might cause some headaches for the Jaguars down the line.
Walter, across town, East Chapel Hill playing its conference opener tonight. 6:50 remaining first half. Riverside with the lead on the Wildcats, 21-3.
Tough night for the Wildcats to kick off their conference season. We'll hope to get you some updates coming up at halftime from other scores around the area. We've got our eyes on battle in Hillsboro between Orange and Cedar Ridge, the other featured game on WCHL. Shalais Hubert puts the ball up into the air, takes a big bounce before being taken up at the 20-yard line, getting across the 25 on the return. That's where Bartlett Yancey will have possession for its second drive of the quarter. On the return, number 17, Brian Parker.
Well, it's an important drive here for Bartlett Yancey because they want to prove that they are more than one big play here. They want to try to make sure that they can grind out a drive, just like Carborough has grounded out drives here tonight. That last one, an eight-play drive. Their first one tonight went 13 plays.
Here's the handoff to the near side, and then cutting up the middle of the field, Satterwhite gets there in time to bury the ball carrier, Deshaun Newman. Satterwhite's had a good nose to find Newman all over the field tonight, and he's dragged him down from behind a couple of times, which tells you a little bit about the size of Satterwhite to be able to catch a little guy like Newman.
Yeah, exactly. Satterwhite's got to be a D1 prospect. He's got the size that D1 coaches light at 6'1", 335, but he's also got the speed as well. None of that's going to matter in this case, Walter, because it's going to be a hold called against the Buccaneers.
It's going to cancel out what would have been an okay pickup on first down of 2 or 3 yards and instead move him all the way back to the 20-yard line. So now they'll need to get to the 37 for a first down. So it's first and 17 with Totten in the backfield, gets the snap, hands it off to Newman. He runs left side all the way out to the sideline, gets snowed under across the 20-yard line. Not a lot of room to operate there. Carborough with excellent pursuit, as we've seen them have through most of the plays tonight, Jeff.
Yeah, Gerald Atwater did a good job coming off the line and stringing that play out along with Satterwhite, and they both deserve credit for that stop. They held Newman to a gain of only two, so it's now second down at 14.
6:23 remaining in the second quarter. It's 7-6 Bartlett Yancey. Over Carborough, they have the lead and the ball. Second down, here's the snap. It'll be a pitch out to the right side, and there's yardage here. Coming to the near sideline, still on his feet after absorbing two tackles at the 30-yard line, and then getting taken down there on the carry. He was coming over from the wide receiver pitch in the reverse, and that was Brian Parker again on the carry.
Yeah, Parker did a good job that time creating some room for himself, as all night long we've seen Bartlett Yancey tried to test the Carborough quickness. These are two teams that lack size, but they have plenty of speed going both ways. And now it's going to be third down, and we'll call it six after that 9-yard pickup. And we have a timeout by Carborough.
Timeout with 5:41 to play here in the second quarter. 7-6 is the score. Bartlett Yancey with the lead. We'll keep it here. Good hit that last play, Jeff, by Darius Glover, as he and Sirku Thart were on the left side trying to stop Parker on the play, and Parker tried to split in between the two, and they did a good job to not only deliver the initial pop but hold on and bring him down just across that 30-yard line.
Well, Deshaun Newman is rested up, Walter, because he was injured in the High Point Andrews game as he wound up hurting his shoulder, missed the Person game, had a week off after the Andrews game, but he's back here tonight, and he's run with some purpose here. And this is going to be another important third down here in this contest because Bartlett Yancey's done a good job in converting third down so far as they've converted three of them.
Bartlett Yancey could use up a lot more clock here in the second quarter if they're able to convert this first down. Otherwise, Carborough will have a decent shot at maybe retaking the lead on its next possession. Third down. Here's the rollout to the left side. The throw is down the field and incomplete. And then a hit comes in right at the end of the play, very close to being a late hit. Looks like no flags will come out, but there is a player down, the receiver, for whom the ball was intended.
Tell you what, Carborough was lucky they weren't flagged there. Most other levels of football, that's an automatic flag, particularly in college where they've really cracked down on it. And Carborough was fortunate there, no question.
It was very close, but usually when it's close, the call goes in favor of the defenseless receiver, especially with the ball thrown in the ground like that. But no flag on the field, and that player is face down on the field with 5 minutes, 35 seconds to play. Bartlett Yancey has taken a knee. Carborough has come to the near sideline as the training staff for Carborough has wandered out to the far side of the field to go see if the Bartlett Yancey staff needs any assistance or help. And with it'll be fourth down coming up in a few moments with 5:35 left on the clock.
Well, one of the things we heard Bartlett Yancey coach Corey Lee talk about pregame, Walter, was he wanted to see this team use the run to set up the pass more. So far, that has not worked out for the Buccaneers tonight. They're only 1 of 5 throwing the ball. The good news is that one pass, that one completion, worked for 87 yards and a touchdown. And a big reason why, in fact, the only reason why they're up right now 7-6 against Carborough, that's been their big play of the game, although Bartlett Yancey has run the ball quite capably.
Can't quite see who the receiver was on that play, who got knocked down, Jeff, but still on the field, and I do believe he's still face down.
Yep.
Good news so far is we haven't seen any motion over to an ambulance or anything like that, but the Carborough staff along with the Bartlett Yancey staff are both all hovered around him right now. Bartlett Yancey's team is still taking a knee. So with this being a little bit more serious than it initially looked, we will step aside and be back with more, hopefully with good news. You're listening to High School Football on WCHL and Chapelboro.com.
This is Kit Ballou of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. You know, Kit, a lot of people look at buying or selling a house as a competition where there is a clear winner and a clear loser.
I know what you mean, but in my experience...
And that would be vast.
The best deals are the ones where the sellers feel they didn't get quite enough and the buyers are sure they paid a little too much.
So not like the sleazeball in the tailored suit on Bravo's million-dollar listing, the one who says, you haven't done anything right until someone wants you dead. Geez, at Franklin Street Realty, our agents simply do not let ego get in the way. In fact, the men were selected for low testosterone levels.
Oh, Sammy, don't sell yourself short. The truth is, you don't have to read The Art of War to be a good negotiator. You need focus, experience, and flexibility, what you get from our agents. Plus, even the talking heads have come around to our position. There has never been a better time to buy a house, period.
Lower asking prices, lower interest rates, a lot to choose from. Find your new house at franklinstreetrealty.com.
Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruisers, good to go.
Walter Storholt and Jeff Hamlin with you still from Carborough High School, where a player is down on the field, I believe face down.
And Walter, we're hearing the CB connection that the athletic director has stationed inside the press box here, and that tells me that perhaps a rescue squad is going to be needed here for this situation, as the Bartlett Yancey player was hit just moments ago after a third down play. And because of the talk going back and forth between the athletic director here at Carborough High, April Ross, and some of the medical personnel, that tells us that a stretcher will be needed here to carry this young man off the field into safety.
We hope these are precautionary measures as they continue to...
Looks like the young man just moved his shoulders, Walter, as they are helping him out on the field.
That would certainly be a good sign. It does look like they are prepping a stretcher alongside the ambulance that is stationed on the track on the left side of the field here, and they will be bringing a stretcher out to the 35-yard line.
Now, UNC frequently has some interns at their medical school come to the games here at Carborough to help out and learn here on the job in case such a situation is needed. And they've done that at Chapel Hill and some of the other Orange County schools as well over the last few years, and looks like that might be the case here tonight.
Ambulance crew is reaching the player on the far side of the field from where we are here at the press box. And the trainers will yield way to the staff. And you are right, I do see some UNC shirts out there as well.
In fact, Carborough High recognizing Dr. Ganesh Kameth from the UNC Department of Orthopedics. He and other doctors from UNC attend all the home games here at Carborough High, not just for football, but they also treat all Carborough athletes. The UNC Department of Orthopedics offering all Carborough High School athletes, all high school athletes here at Carborough, free sports participation physicals two times a year. So Dr. Kameth certainly deserves a lot of credit for that, as in this case it doesn't involve a Carborough player, but certainly no less care given in this situation. 5:35 remaining here in the first half. In case you just tuned in here to chapelboro.com, Bartlett Yancey leads Carborough by a score of 7-6, and Bartlett Yancey attempted a third down conversion on a third and five a moment ago, but the pass thrown by the quarterback on the play was incomplete. Danielle Totten threw to the man who was still down on the field, and it looked like he was hit by a Carborough player at the whistle or perhaps a little bit after the whistle. And now a stretcher has been wheeled out to the far end of the field at about the 38-yard line to help the young man.
It was a low pass that the receiver was reaching down to get. We are learning that it is Brian Parker down on the field who's made big plays for Bartlett Yancey tonight.
Parker wound up with a carry actually earlier on in this drive for 9 yards. And he has not moved ever since he went down. Scoring started in this game in the first quarter when the quarterback for the Buccaneers, Totten, wound up throwing to Keontae Rasheed for an 87-yard strike. And it was 6-0, and then the extra point made it 7-0, and the extra point by Chris Dalton. Carborough matched that with a 1-yard touchdown run of its own as the Jaguars wound up getting the touchdown run from Kendrick Edwards. But the extra point was blocked. And thus we're at 7-6 with 5:35 remaining here in the first half. And we certainly wish nothing but the best right now to Brian Parker, who is now being loaded onto the stretcher.
They lowered the stretcher down, and they have put Parker on the stretcher. Both sides of the field applauding. I do think he's moving his arms, Jeff. He's got his hands up by his face mask and is kind of holding his face mask there. And they are talking to him and communicating with him.
That's good to see. That's going to be a very tough loss here for Bartlett Yancey, because Parker is a versatile athlete, 5'9", 177. And as we get back to action here, Bartlett Yancey will line up the punt. It's always tough coming back after something like that happens, trying to get your juices going all over again after seeing, especially for Bartlett Yancey, a fallen teammate now being wheeled off the field, and he'll actually have to go right behind his own team's punt formation onto the opening on the track here that'll lead him to the ambulance.
So Parker will be taken off the field. We do hope that he will be okay, and again, like we said, that these are precautionary measures. As he gets a round of applause again from the near sideline as the Carborough Jaguars applaud him as they slowly take him toward the ambulance, which will take him to most likely UNC hospitals for further evaluation. And as you mentioned, Jeff, it is tough to move on for either team, really, not
right.
Just for the team who the player was a member of, but also for the opposing team as well to see that, and for the player that delivered the hit. A lot of times that can be very difficult to come back from and leave out of your mind as well. So it will be a punt here on fourth down as Bartlett Yancey will send it away. It'll be James Gunn to deliver the punt, and we've got whistles and flags on the first play as we've resumed. Looks like it'll be false start against Bartlett Yancey, so that'll knock him back and make it 4th and 11.
Well, now we're getting to a point here where it's back to the 26-yard line. And it's going to be interesting to see who wins the special teams battle, because that's an area that Carrboro lost last week. They essentially gave up three touchdowns off either punt returns or turnovers off the special teams last week.
Glover back to receive the punt. There's the snap. Dunn gets it away. It's a nice one. End over end. Glover has it, goes off the ground, and then his fingertips, then jumps on top of it and just lays down at the 39-yard line. So that's where Carrboro will start its field position. You talk about turnovers on special teams, almost another one there.
That's right.
Got to be careful if you're the Jaguars. And here's one of the reasons for that, Jeff, is their kick returners, and both kick returner and punt returner, their top two are Marlon Johnson and Trey Sharp, and
that's
both
right.
of them being out with injury. We're having to dig a little bit deeper into the pot to find players who can fulfill those roles.
Absolutely. It's one of the reasons why that loss was so expensive for the Jaguars, particularly with Sharp.
So it'll be first and 10 for the Jaguars. Ball at the 39-yard line. Isom with the snap, keeps the handoff himself, runs to the left side, and he breaks through the secondary. Down the left sideline, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Looks behind him, nobody there. Touchdown. Isom keeps it all the way from the 39-yard line. Oh, and it is going to be a face mask, but they're calling it against Bartlett Yancey, so it'll be a touchdown.
The fake was so good, Walter, that the man who wound up receiving the ball fake, Kendrick Edwards, got taken down by the face mask. And, I mean, he was thrown down by the face mask. That's how good of a ball fake that was there by Campbell Isom, and what a touchdown run.
Oh, wait.
Penalty is on the defense.
It is on the defense. Yeah. Everybody was walking back up like it was on the offense, and finally everybody else got the message. So it will be a touchdown for the Carrboro Jaguars.
That was on the face mask. I tell you, I felt bad there for Edwards, because he wound up getting a hard face mask, and he wasn't even the one who got the touchdown.
61-yard run by Campbell Isom. As the quarterback gets his first career touchdown,
See if they swing the picket fence here. Yeah, they're going to move him on over now. Sometimes we've seen this with Larry Fedora and UNC. Sometimes they'll go for two in situations like that, but this time they go ahead and line him back up to the center of the field.
Didn't like what they saw, so it'll be Schley Hubert to try the extra point after the first one was no good due to a bobbled snap. Here's the snap. This one down a little cleaner. It's a low line drive through the uprights and good, but we've got flags on the field.
And it's going to be offside
against Bartlett Yancey, so the kick will be good. Unless Carrboro now decides that they want to go, and it looks like they may decide to.
Well, it was a dead ball foul, so they really don't have any choice. And I think actually Coach Tudorin, upon seeing that's going to go for two now.
That's what I'm saying, now being on the 1 yard line instead of the two. They're changing up the offensive set. They've pulled the kicker over to the sideline, and they're going to try and pound this in possibly to go ahead 14-7 rather than 13-7.
That's right. So the ball to the 2 yard line here, and this isn't getting gritty here, because this is a Carrboro team that it's one of those offenses where it's easier to get 15 yards than it is two, but they've been capable of running the football here tonight. Now, Bartlett Yancey, seeing that, wants to line up and prepare for what appears to be now a two-point attempt.
It will be, and we'll bring it to you live here in just a moment on chapelboro.com.
Have you been looking for acupuncture, massage, nutrition advice, yoga therapy, guided imagery, hypnosis, and expert physicians who understand how you can use these services to benefit your health and your life? Come to Duke Integrative Primary Care. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Duke Integrative Primary Care, transforming your health and your life. Only minutes from Chapel Hill. Open to all and now accepting insurance.
Walter Storholt and Jeff Hamlin back with you here at Carrboro High School, where the second quarter has taken a couple of odd turns. Player for Bartlett Yancey down on the field for several minutes, had to be carted off on a stretcher. Our thoughts are with Brian Parker as he is being prepped over by the ambulance right now for what we assume will be a ride over to UNC Hospitals. And then just moments later after a Bartlett Yancey punt, a 61-yard touchdown run by the quarterback, and now they're going for two. The handoff will be to the man who was in the running for the starting job coming into the night. Instead, he's been at running back for most of the evening, Roam a lot, and he scores right up the middle to complete the two-point conversion. 14-7. Now the score is Carborough. Rebounds from that missed extra point earlier with 5:08 to go in the second quarter. They now have a one-touchdown lead.
And that's a big play by Malott. Walter, we've got some scores now on the scoreboard. One of the most anticipated games of the year unfolding in Raleigh. Southern Durham leads Cardinal Gibbons 31-14.
Wow.
And if that one holds up, that means that Cardinal Gibbons will lose its first conference game in over 4 years. Hillside leading big over Jordan at the half, 43-0. This is the first night of Pac-6 action tonight. And we mentioned earlier that Riverside is leading East Chapel Hill as well. They're up big.
The face mask penalty enforced, it seems like it was so long ago,
right?
Enforced on the kickoff. So Carborough will be kicking off from the 45-yard line in Bartlett Yancey territory. Boy, in situations like this, I almost feel like you might as well just go for the onside kick.
Yeah, in a lot of situations we see that too.
They have everybody bunched up right behind the kicker, Schley Huber. Possibly a straight-ahead kick. Nope, they'll split out wide on both sides here. Although they will send a majority out to the left, and they are down on their knees in a three-point stance. It looks like they will try and go for an onside kick here. Schley Huber, nope, he'll go ahead and kick it deep as it goes all the way into the end zone for a touchback. So it'll bring it out to the 20-yard line for Bartlett Yancey with 5:08 to play and 14-7, once again our score.
Well, it's going to be important now for Bartlett Yancey to see how quickly they can regroup here. They just lost one of their best players in Brian Parker. That's a very important skill player that they have in their repertoire. So now they have to figure out a way to stay strong mentally. And we talked about how this is a young football team. Let's see how they can respond to the loss of a teammate and now the loss of a lead.
Any updates on Brian Parker we get, we will pass them along to you. Here's the snap with trips out to the right. The throw will be to the right, over the head of the intended receiver and incomplete. Well, the receiver did get a hand on it. Jumping up to try and pull it in was Marquise Mims. Couldn't quite hold on. It'll bring up second and 10.
And it was 34 who got in there. That was Sear Cuthart, who managed to jump up like he was a guard trying to swat away a jump shot, and he managed to get in there and get a deflection on that one.
So it'll be second and 10 with 5:01 to go. Clock stopped after the incompletion. Trips to the right again. Ball on the near sideline. Left or right across your radio dial. It is an option out to the left side. Pitch to Newman. Newman gets over one tackler, trying to make his way to the 25-yard line. And it looks like he did roll over a defender to get just there. So a gain of 5 on second down. It'll bring up third and 5.
Another good job by the Carborough defense, though, to defend against the option, as the man who was covering the pitch that time was Roma Watt, who's playing both ways here tonight. So a big third down coming up.
Oh. And we get whistles and flags before the play gets underway. A timeout is called by the Jaguars. The ambulance is leaving the field.
Just now.
Slowly making its way out into the parking lot here at Carborough High School.
It tells me it couldn't be too serious considering that it's just now leaving. He's been in there several minutes now, has Brian Parker.
Again, we'll keep you updated on anything more we hear on Brian Parker. 4:33 to play here in the second quarter, 14-7 our score. Jaguars with the lead. They just called a timeout.
And at the half, the other game that's on chapelboro.com tonight, you can also hear it on WCHL. Orange 34, Cedar Ridge 7. They're at the half at Almond Stadium in Hillsboro. And with that, Orange should have its first 7-0 start, we believe, in school history.
It's going to be pretty amazing to see what they're able to put together this season. You saw some flashes of it earlier in the year, and it looks like they're going to be a force to be reckoned with throughout the year. Here's the handoff to Newman on third down. He's got the first down and more as he goes across the 35-yard line looking to get to the 40. He won't get quite there, but it's enough for the first down as he gets pushed out of bounds with 4:24 to play.
That was a good run that time by Newman as he found the opening that split off to the left side, and Bartlett Yancey going without a huddle there as the play works for 12 yards, and that'll be enough to convert their fourth third down of the night.
So it'll bring up first and 10 with the ball on the 37. Make it the 38. Here's the snap. And we've got whistles and no more flags before the play gets underway.
And we have a false start called here against the Buccaneers.
Moving back 5 yards. 4:13 to play. Still a 7-point lead for the Jaguars. But Bartlett Yancey with plenty of firepower to get down the field in time to tie it up before the half. But they won't do it if they keep committing penalties like that.
So far it's been one big play tonight for the Buccaneers that has accounted for all their passing yardage. They are just 1 of 6 throwing the ball tonight.
Another attempt for Totten. No, it'll be a handoff this time to Newman, who's done a nice job running the ball tonight. Doesn't get back to the original line of scrimmage, but he does pick up a few yards on the play. Back across the 35-yard line he comes.
Ted Bilden gets in there, another young man, 6 feet, 225 pounds, down lineman, sophomore, makes the tackle.
They're showing fourth down, but I believe it's only second. There
That's right, second and 11.
Three wide receivers to the near side. Here's the snap on second and 11, throw across the middle of the field over the intended receiver. A couple of Carborough players in the vicinity might have had a chance at intercepting that one. Good coverage by Roe Malott, also near the ball as it fell to the ground was Darius Glover.
Yeah, Malott was actually shoved down from behind as he was trying to make the pick by Greg Budd, and he was wondering where was the flag on the play. He thought that could have been offensive interference.
Didn't look too catchable by either player since Glover ended up being the closest one to it. Here's the throw now to the left side, in and out of the hands of the intended receiver. Ball is dropped, and it'll bring up fourth and 11.
Kendrick Edwards made a fine play that time, getting his hands in there and knocking away that pass by Totten. That was a good job by two players playing both ways tonight for Carborough, both of them in the secondary.
Ball was intended for Tevin Stewart, and that's usually a position you would see Brian Parker in, but with Parker obviously on his way to the hospital, it's Stewart who fills that role and couldn't quite hold on to the pass.
Oh.
It was going to be a blocked punt, so they're going to have to keep it to the near side, and it will be stopped by the Carborough Jaguar short of the 40-yard line. They will have excellent field position as Greg Budd was running it to the near sideline. It was a fake punt. It looked like he really wanted to actually punt it, but it was going to be blocked, so he pulled it down and ran.
Yeah, and
but that's not their normal punter, so it may have been fully designed to be a fake punt from the beginning, and now he is limping off the field after he got taken down. He seemed to be walking away normally, and then all of a sudden went down to his knees, and now he's limping off. That's Greg Budd.
And that'd be another skill player loss for Bartlett Yancey if that's a serious injury. The pressure was very good around in that time by Corey Anderson, and that forced, it looked like Bartlett Yancey to ad-lib, and Budd wound up losing or gaining only 2 yards on the fake punt.
Malott gets the handoff, runs to the left side across the 40-yard line, gets a couple of yards on the play before getting dragged down from behind by big number 60, Stacy Blackman, the 5'6", 260-pound junior, able to make the tackle. But it'll bring up second down, and Carborough will look to make this a two-possession game. They've got time, but they've used two of their three timeouts already, Jeff. There's 2 minutes and 50 seconds to play here in the second quarter.
That's true, but they have enough time to run it off here.
Here's the snap. It'll be a quarterback keeper. Isom up the middle after faking the handoff to Edwards. Gets across the 35-yard line, and it'll bring up third down and 5.
Now, one thing that Jason Tudorin likes from his quarterbacks is to distribute the ball as much as they can to various skill players. Know when to hand it to the split end on an end around. Know when to hand it off to the running back on a drop the middle. And know when to keep it for yourself. And it looks like Isom is adept at doing that in a lot of different ways here, Walter. The one area where he hasn't been as adept is throwing the ball deep down the field, although he is 4 of 7 for 25 yards passing tonight.
We've got whistles with 2 minutes and 3 seconds to play, and a timeout is called by Carborough. It'll be their third and final timeout, up by 7. Again, 2 minutes and 3 seconds to play.
It's going to be interesting to see here. You got a third down play. Carborough will start the second half with the football as they won the toss and elected to the further selection to the second half. So you want to go for something with an intermediate route here. And right now with Isom, he looks like a good ground control quarterback here, Walter, when you get right down to it, because he's, again, it's not someone who's throwing the ball deep distances. He's going for screen passes and slants. He's not opting for anything here that would resemble a home run play, what we saw from Bartlett Yancey earlier on with that 87-yard touchdown pass.
So here comes Carborough out of the timeout. 14-7 our score with 2 minutes, 3 seconds to play. Malott will be the running back standing alongside. Quarterback Isom trips to the right. On third down, here's the snap. It's going to be a downfield pass. Long drop, and then he'll dump it off to the receiver Malott, and he has popped hard, taken to the ground. A big, big tackle coming up and making the play was 25, Corey Henderson, the outside linebacker, 5'7", 185 pounds, and he used every bit of those 185 pounds to take him down. So the little dump-off didn't work there, Jeff.
No, and it's going to be fourth down here, and it looks like they're going to go for it off that no-gain play.
Not taking a bunch of time off the clock. Here's the throw out to the right side. Pass is caught right at the first down. Marker Malott dives over the 30-yard line to get that first down. He did drop the ball at the end of the play, but he was already down, and it'll be first down Carborough Jaguars. The clock is stopped with 1:22 to play.
Boy, fine play that time by Isom as he held it just long enough. That time he showed some inexperience on the previous play throwing the screen pass, but showed the right target there and getting the ball away to Malott.
Snap goes into the ground, calmly picking it up as Isom, but almost throws it into the hands of the defensive back. Jumping in front of the pass was Tevin Stewart, knocking it away from Malott. And Malott, after being in for several straight plays, will come to the sideline for a breather.
Malott has really done a lot. He's swatted away passes on defense tonight. He's gotten carries dead up the middle just moments ago. A big first down catch that kept this drive alive. 14-7, Carborough with the lead, looking for more. 70 seconds to go on the half.
Here's the snap. It'll be a quick throw to the right side along the sideline. Running it up the field is Edwards, I believe, as he gets across the 25-yard line, looking to get to the 20.
Look at those Darius Glover in there.
Glover ended up being the one with it.
It's tough to tell when the ball is thrown to the far end of the field here, but it's going to be third down and short.
Here at Carborough, the great facilities, but you're just not very high off the field when you're here in the booth, and so it's tough to see the numbers when they get to the far side. Throw will be to the near side this time. It was intended for Edwards. Goes into the ground, incomplete pass. Stops the clock with 38.9 seconds. Effectively, that was a spike.
And it's going to be fourth down now. They were late in changing the yard marker, so it's going to be fourth down. That might have confused Jason Tudorin on that play call a moment ago, but Carborough is still going to go for it, even though this would be a 37-yard field goal attempt.
38.9 seconds to play. They picked it up on fourth down a few moments ago. Maybe they're thinking they could do it again, and Bartlett Yancey wants to think about it. They take a timeout. Longest first half in history here tonight.
You're getting paid by the hour doing this, right?
Paid? 8:36. I guess it's not been too bad. We're only an hour and 6 minutes into the half.
Well,
it's a little longer than usual.
It's certainly not like those college football games where you're out there for 3.5, 4 hours sometimes.
That's true.
You could be at one of those Baylor games where you see 122 points scored.
Or it could be the Broncos and Cowboys, right?
You hear the fight song 37 times.
At least the clock doesn't stop on first downs in the NFL.
That's true.
Keeps it moving along a little quicker.
I haven't thought about that. No wonder some play-by-play men I've heard in colleges wind up getting hoarse voices by the middle of the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Never thought about that before.
I'm surprised that the college ranks haven't moved to deciding to do a running clock with, you know, first downs and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I think that's part of the beauty of the game, though, they would argue.
Possibly. Fourth and two. Conversation and argument for another time.
That's right.
Here's the handoff. It goes to Edwards. He evades two tacklers, gets to the 20-yard line, reaches across, looks from here like he was able to pick up the first down. The clock is stopped with 30.5 seconds to go.
Oh, they're saying it's going to be Bartley
Yancey
ball. Wow. He didn't make it.
Just shy of the first down. So Edwards did not get there. And it'll be Bartlett Yancey with the ball with 30.5 seconds to go. Keep in mind they had an 87-yard touchdown pass in the first quarter.
Well, that's three drives that have ended tonight by the Bartlett Yancey defense on fourth down plays. Three times tonight that Carborough has gone for it on fourth down and failed.
So we'll see what Bartlett Yancey can do with 30.5 seconds to go. They're going to go for it. They're not taking knees. Throw is complete across the middle of the field, coming to the near sideline. Player trying to get out of bounds. He does not get there. The clock will continue to run with 20.1 seconds to go and now counting. Up now they will stop the clock because it's first down. And 20.6 seconds on the clock. Still a 7-point lead. Yancey does a good job to get reset very quickly. Clock winding down. Here's the snap. Throw across the middle of the field again. This one is incomplete. No, it was complete. Got deflected into the hands of Mims, and then Mims took it to the 50-yard line and gets across to the 49 in Carrboro territory with 9.3 seconds to go. Enough for two plays if you can get out of bounds quickly. And Bartlett Yancey, instead of saving that timeout for one more play, is going to go ahead and call its final timeout now with 9.3 seconds to go. I would imagine here, Jeff, that they'll call three plays, the first play, and then two options, depending on what happens on the second play, and try and run it quickly?
They could do that, or they could just go for it all right here. That was some play a moment ago there, as we saw that pass intended for Tristan Stewart, and it flipped right out of his hands and into Marquise Mims' hands. And for Mims, he's made two receptions, and just like that, he's the leading receiver in this game for Bartlett Yancey with a couple of big grabs. And now Bartlett Yancey, 49 yards from pay dirt here, and they're thinking end zone all the way. They've only kicked one field goal all year.
So here they come out at the 49-yard line. In the shotgun is Totten, and he has five wide receivers, three to the near side. Moving left to right. Totten standing on his own 45-yard line. Here's the snap. It's low. He moves to his right, steps up into the pocket, rolls to the right now, needs to get rid of it, fires it downfield. He's got a man there, and it's incomplete at the 19-yard line. 2.5 seconds to play.
Boy, and Newman, if he had hauled that one in, would have had plenty of time to get out of bounds and set up what would have been a very feasible attempt at a touchdown. They would have been 15 yards or so away. Newman ran that route exactly the way you want to run it. He was close to the sideline. He had broken the zone, wide open, just couldn't make the play. Couldn't make an easy catch.
So it'll be second and 10 with 2.5 seconds to go, the final play of the half. Here's the snap. Totten looking to pass, has to roll out of trouble. Satterwhite chasing it. He is across the line of scrimmage and throws downfield. Will not matter what happens here, although it does get intercepted. Carbo's trying to run it back over to the right sideline. With it is on the play Sales after he got the pick, but he only gets back to the 25-yard line before getting taken down, and that's how the half will end. Although technically the half can't end on a penalty.
Carbo, an eligible man downfield.
They go ahead and decline the penalty, so that should end the half. Carbo could have decided to make him try it again. I don't know why he would do that. So that'll be the end of the first half, 14-7. Carbro with the lead. A lot going on in this first half. 21 points to show for it up on the scoreboard. We'll talk about it all at halftime. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on WCHL and ChapelBurrow.com. Brought to you in Chapel Hill by Mark Vitale, Nationwide Insurance, and in Hillsboro by AAI Nationwide Insurance.